This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards from the Edge.
I'm your new host, Christopher D. Littlefield, but don't despair. With me this week is the co-host of The Edge main show, Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated TNG podcast, and our former Postcards host, my very dear friend, Amy Nelson. Amy, thank you for being our guest on Postcards and passing the torch to me today.
Well, I'm so very excited, and I love any opportunity I get to talk to you, Chris, so thank you.
Well, I feel the same way. This is so cool. It's so good to see your face, and I'm glad we're talking about Trek today. How does it feel to be a guest on your own podcast?
Okay, for some reason, I'm really nervous.
Really?
Yes, I just like, oh my gosh, I've got my heart's beating fast. I'm like, oh, I better do good. I hope he likes me.
No, that's how I'm supposed to feel, because I'm like standing in your shoes now, and they're big shoes to fill. Everybody loves you.
Oh my gosh, it's wonderful, and I'm just so glad that you are taking this on. I had a very wonderful, gosh, that was 40 episodes that I did Postcards, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an honor to host Postcards, because this was the first podcast that I started listening to when I joined Trek FM 2 years ago when Discovery premiered.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
Yep. And I remember how excited I used to get when you'd post the thread for the comments, and how excited all of us listeners got when you'd read out our comments on the air and say our names. It was just so cool, and it really kind of started building that sense of community for me. And you're the one that's initially responsible for all of that.
Well,
you were my first Trek FM friend, so that makes it even more special.
Yes, and what a friendship it is. It has definitely grown.
Yeah, yes. And you've come to visit me in New York, and I've come to visit you in Las Vegas, and we roomed together for STLV.
I know. It's so amazing. Yes, I love the Trek family.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
And all brought to us together because of Postcards.
That's right. That's right. It's so good to be here, and it's even better that you're here. Today, we're discussing the fan response to Short Trek's Q&A. If you would like to participate and share your response, please post your comments on the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field, and it will come right up. We'll create a special Postcards discussion thread right before each new Star Trek episode. Leave your comments, and they just might get read on the air. So, Amy, as of this recording, we have 75 comments on the Postcard thread. And in keeping with tradition and honoring you as a math teacher, I want us to continue to keep track of the number of comments and the percentage increase and decrease, increase or decrease.
That really makes my Trek heart happy and my math heart happy.
Yeah. Well, we have to keep you happy. Well, Amy, will you do us the honors and get us started?
Yes. So we have Justin Ozer, my co-host on Earl Grey, says, it was so wonderful to spend more time on Pike's Enterprise, to get to know number one more, played brilliantly by Rebecca Romijn, to see the interaction with the younger Spock, played amazingly by Ethan Peck. It was a delight and a lot of fun. So, Justin, thank you for your comment. I have to agree, Rebecca Romijn and Ethan Peck were amazing. I really got to see so much more in their character because of this Short Trek than we ever got to see on Discovery.
Yeah, I love how they're fleshing out number one. It's so cool to see Rebecca Romijn really sink her teeth into it and give us a lot more behind that.
She looked a little different to me, actually.
Yeah?
I don't know, did she look younger or more relaxed? I couldn't figure it out with her hair was longer, if they did her makeup differently. I don't know. There was something different. Listeners, let me know if I'm just crazy or if you saw something different too.
I think I'm always just awestruck at how amazing she always looks. Like, she's just always looks so beautiful and so smart, and she's really just stunning, you know?
Yes.
I did notice that her pants were a little bit different when they showed the little, they kind of had pockets in them.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I didn't see that before.
Yeah.
Billy Wells Logue, and forgive me if I'm saying your name wrong, said, "Oh, new Trek to watch today, and it did not disappoint. Spock's first day on the Enterprise. I should have better things today, but I'm kind of speechless."
Yes, I was too. At the end of it, I was just smiling at the end. I'm like, this is so perfect, and what can I say? It was a delight to watch.
Yeah, I loved it.
Tyler Orenchek writes, "Amazing. I think Michael Chabon is a great writer. It's so sweet to see that number one has a vulnerable side. I don't know why, but seeing Captain Pike again made me almost cry." Tyler, I am so with you. When I saw Pike sitting in the chair, I was like, oh, there you are. Oh, yes. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were going to see him. And then as soon as we saw him on screen and his ever-changing gradients of gray hair, I thought of you immediately, Amy, because I knew that that would make you happy.
Woo, it's getting hot in here. It was a nice ending, you know, just sort of, you know, bookend the whole thing because it's so closely related to Discovery that we needed to see Pike. So,
yeah. And how gorgeous was that, the view screen?
Oh,
what they were looking at out there.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, Tyler, Michael Chabon is a great writer. And Karen Troopless on the thread pointed out that this episode was dedicated to his father. And he wrote the script sitting next to him in the hospital bed shortly before he passed away.
Yeah.
Andrea Boot says, "Thanks to the miracle of modern technologies, I was finally able to watch this. Loved the awkward dynamic between Spock and Una. I guess even in the 23rd century, being stuck in a lift with coworkers doesn't get any less awkward." And yeah, I know a lot of viewers weren't able to watch it. But Alex Kurtzman said, as soon as they know what's going to happen in other places with releases that are not U.S. and Canada, they're going to let us know.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad because, I mean, Trek is worldwide. And, you know, we have listeners on the Babel Conference and my friends elsewhere. And they're like, oh, I'm going to have to stay off social media. And, oh, I want to see it. Or, oh, I'm going to have to watch it illegally. And not that we're promoting that. But,
right.
You know,
don't do
it's
that.
They need to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the only thing that's sad about getting new Trek in these little limited edition is that we don't know how our other friends and, you know, can watch it.
Yeah.
So we feel for you, and we're wanting them to figure it out too.
Yes. Paloma Bennett writes, "I love how number one tests Spock by having him question her to annoyance and how long it takes, along with the fact that they both say interesting together. I want to see more number one in the future, either in Trek shorts, Discovery, or hopefully in a Pike television show." Yeah, I was very impressed with her level of patience of, you know, okay, ask me till annoyance. Like, okay, if my students start doing that. No, I'm just kidding.
But she wanted it. She asked for it.
Yeah. And so I did wonder, like, why would she tell he's an ensign, right? Why would
ensign,
he
yeah.
tell him to ask every single person questions?
The only thing that I could think of is that it was some sort of test.
Okay.
You know, she was testing him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we think of Spock, do we really think of him as being, we know Spock is inquisitive, But we don't think of him. Do we really think of him as someone who asks a bunch of questions and is annoying? Not really, right?
Right. Nor being social. So I'm almost wondering if she would have, you know, tried to push him that way as well.
Yeah.
Test him that way. Yeah.
Nicholas Paul Collinston said, okay, finally got to see it. That was really cute. I really like the characterization of both Una and Spock. Really feels like it's a teaser for a Pike show. This is a lot. This is going around. Everybody wants a Pike show.
Everyone.
I'm one of them.
Yes, I am one of them as well.
And I'm holding out because as much as they're not saying anything, they have not said no.
I know.
So that's got to be worth something, right?
Yep. That's what I'm hanging on to.
Yeah, me too. I think we all are.
All right. Margie Suarez says, longtime group member, first time postcards commenter. Well, welcome, Margie. Please be nice. Margie, we're always nice.
We're always nice.
Yes. She continues and says, it was nice to have Short Treks back. I definitely see them opening a door for a Pike-Spock series with the flirting between Spock and Number One. Yeah, people are wanting this Pike series.
I know a lot of people are commenting about that. And I just, if the powers that be ever listen to these podcasts, it'll be more, you know, more encouraging for them to do so. Amy, did you think that they were flirting when you watched it?
Okay. I tried to not see it because I didn't want to see it.
I felt the same way.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about that. But then, I mean, if you think about looking at the original series, like Spock got it on quite a few times. Like he had a lot of girlfriends, right?
Well, you know.
And so it's not like he's this celibate monk type character.
Right.
So it's almost in line and fitting to his character, but I did not want to see it, but I couldn't not see it.
Yeah, there were two little moments when it made me think that, but I was also thinking, no. Maybe I feel like I'm reading too much into it because I don't want that to be a thing.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows?
Yeah.
My friend, Janessa Quijada, says, the fandom has been joking about getting a musical production of Star Trek for years. This is about as close as we've gotten, and oh boy, I think I need more. And I can imagine Amy having memorized the lyrics already. Amy, are you ready?
Oh my gosh.
I am the very model of a modern major general. Just kidding, that's it.
Oh my gosh. No. Yeah, there was a little bit of thread with that.
Yes.
And that's as much as you get.
Well, we didn't get anything, so.
Well, from you, we did, so that's
we're going to have to work on that.
Oh, my gosh. But I was listening, you know, watching the Short Treks multiple times, as one tends to do.
Of course.
I love those words, and I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. I know how to. Oh, my gosh. It's a great song.
Yeah, Gilbert and Sullivan, composers, amazing. They knew what they were doing with lyrics.
Yeah. Apparently. And they know some math because it sounded spot on.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Well, Jerry Gilbert Paduano. Hi, Jerry. Writes, it really reminded me of TNG Disaster. Not just the elevator, but the awkward pairing of Number One and Spock. And of course, Modern Major General. Well, of course it. I'm so glad that you had me read this comment, Chris.
Yeah, of course I did. Yes.
I You're love the TNG, TNG queen. Yes.
New listeners, if you don't know that, now you do.
Yes. And that's right. Them in the turbo lift. Yes, perfect. Why did I not make that connection? Jerry, you're brilliant.
I didn't remember that until they commented on it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Chris Hill says, this was totally adorable. I love when Trek incorporates things from musicals. One of my favorite scenes from Insurrection is the singing of a British tar. It's just the theater geek in me, I suppose. LOL. Well, Chris, I'm a theater geek too. I'm a professional musician and I'm actually out of town in Raleigh, North Carolina, working on a musical right now. And so I totally am with you on that. It made me so excited to hear that. It was such a surprise and it was so cool. I just loved that. What did you think, Amy?
I was so surprised. I had to like go back and say like, why is she singing this? Like, I didn't even know why it would even come up. And then I was, you know, it's like, well, she, you sort of have to hide your freak, right? That's what she said.
Yeah. Hide your freaky, right?
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome for her to, one, reveal that, especially to someone who's her subordinate, you know, and then to be so brave to just break out into song. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's, I totally love her now.
I did not expect that at all. And when she started, I cracked up. I was in rehearsal. The production I'm doing right now is West Side Story. So it's Bernstein and Sondheim, a different composing duo. And, you know, just as difficult musically. But I was actually in rehearsal when the short trek came out, but I was on a little break. So I was sitting at the piano with my headphones in my computer watching it as they were dancing around me, and I just started cracking up. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Don't tell the company that I was doing that.
But. I know. You were like texting me. I'm like, wait, aren't you supposed to be working? And you're like, yeah, I'm dying totally over here.
I was at the piano. I was texting. I put the post up on the Babel conference. I was messaging with Brandy Jacola from Live from the Edge. And she's like, oh my gosh, now we have to figure out how to do the live episode. It was just mayhem.
Yeah.
And we got all the trailers.
I know. You know. It was such a wonderful Trek day that day.
It was a crazy day.
Yep.
It was very Trek-citing.
Yes.
Oh. No, it's not. I don't think that's going to catch on. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jim Stoffel writes, it was nice to see the big three from the Enterprise back. The short itself was okay. Not much happened, but their witty banter was awesome. Yeah, the banter. That's why you're there. You're there for the relationships and the character development. Like, we got to see a lot. We got to one thing that I think is oversighted or not noticed is the randomness and the variety of Spock's questions.
Yeah.
Like, he was going from favorite foods to, you know, replicator modules, systems, whatever, to, you know, quantum physics. I mean, he was all over the place. And I was like, that's pretty awesome. I don't know if I could consecutively ask that many questions in a row with that variety.
And he went into it so quickly.
Yeah.
After she told him.
I know.
He just started throwing the matter. And then apparently it got too heavy. And it was all these detailed and technical stuff. And then he's like, do you like eggplant?
Yep.
You know, he switched gears really quickly, too.
I know. Yeah.
Dan Gunther. Hey, Dan. Very much love this. So great to get more insight into number one with more of a focus on her than she got during Discovery. Also nice to get some insights into Spock at the early point in his career. Also, the fact that it's made very clear that number one's name is Una, both in dialogue and on the computer readout early in the episode, is so cool. I love when the show borrows ideas from the novels, and the name Una comes from the writers of the Legacies trilogy of Star Trek novels.
Leave it to Dan to, yes, bring in the novels. Good job, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, question for you.
Sure.
Are you going to refer to her as Una, even though she multiple times tells Spock, you can call me number one?
Am I, when I talk to her?
When you when you talk about her on Star Trek social media.
I think I'm going to call her number one.
I'm going to respect her wishes because she multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, call me number one.
She means business. Yeah. I'm going to respect her. I'm going to call her whatever she tells me to call her.
Exactly. All right. Justin Ozer says, I laughed when Una talked about her Unimatrix. Made me think of the Unimatrix on Voyager. And I thought that was interesting because, like, they were taking the two systems and combining it. And then that's what she did. She name it after her because she was the one to combine it.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I mean, she is a very confident person, and she seems like, this is who I am, this is what I know, and she's a pro. And why not name it after yourself?
Exactly.
You know, I think she's to be respected, and she knows that she is to be respected.
Yeah. I mean, and she's doing good work. I mean, making the food more nutritious and taste better.
Palatable. Yes. Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yep. And speaking of Voyager, which, yes, Justin, it made me think of Unimatrix also. Our Voyager expert from Australia, Liam Smart, said, "I very much enjoyed this short trek. Was simple and sweet and showed some more character building of number one that we all need. Rebecca Romijn is amazing. I didn't notice the uniforms were wrong and don't particularly care. Looking forward to the next one." Okay, I didn't notice it the first time, but then somebody brought it up, which we'll get to in a future comment. And, you know, The Cage takes place at least 3 years before season two of Discovery. Well, we'll read the next comment and get there.
Okay. All right. And that next comment belongs to Chris Chaplin. Hi, Chris. And he writes, "The short was a nice bonding experience between number one and young Spock. It was wonderful to be with these characters again, but lapses in the world building storytelling stood out to me. From a production point of view, I understand why they were wearing the TOS-like uniforms, but these were referenced as new uniforms in Brother. Discovery era stories seems to favor emotional effect on audience over the internal canon of its own world. I'm not even pointing to anything else outside of Discovery continuity. These are huge issues that ruin the short, but for me, these little lapses add up. And yes, 90s Trek had issues too, but the expectations for serialized storytelling is much higher and demands greater attention to detail to respect the audience."
Okay, so Amy, technically this comment would have gone into your category comments and concerns, right?
Yes.
And I didn't divide the categories this time, but
okay, cool.
What do you think about that concern?
You know, I'm not one who notices how many pips. And I mean, I've even walked out at STLV with the communicator badge on the wrong side. Like, it just, I know. Thankfully, I have good friends that like stopped me in the hall and was like, okay, chill, Miss Nelson.
Wow.
And like ships, designs and stuff. It just, for me, that's not why I'm watching Star Trek, but I totally respect those that do really enjoy that aspect, because Star Trek for many series and for many episodes really do stay true and try to pay attention to those, you know, details. And so for them to not do it here, especially when they know that the new uniforms didn't even come until Discovery 2, right? Season 2, that this is before. So they shouldn't have those nice, shiny new uniforms. So I get it, Chris. I get it.
Yeah, I get it too, Chris. I don't, for me, it doesn't ruin the short because I think it's wonderful. I think it's really well written and acted. But I agree. I think that I wonder if they're going to come out and retcon that somehow, because they tend to do that sometimes, you know, with the short trek where Georgiou came down to Kaminar and originally her shuttlecraft said the Shenzhou, and then they changed it to the Archimedes later on because she wasn't aboard the Shenzhou yet.
Right.
I wonder if they're going to come out with some type of explanation. But I did think, but you know, I don't want to criticize Grisha Phillips because she is a goddess, and her, I mean, with the costume design, she is just incredible. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. It didn't ruin it for me, but it was a little bit of an issue for me.
I mean, is it just too shallow of me to say they looked great?
They looked great.
They looked great.
I think that's undeniable. Yeah. Tim Cooper said, "I could have really done without number one and Spock singing. But otherwise, I thought it was a great addition to Star Trek canon. I now want a series about Captain Pike's Enterprise more than before." Yes, another.
All right, another, yep.
I didn't like the singing.
Totally, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Tim.
Yeah. Okay. Dave Scarpa says, "Short and simple. Didn't care for it." All right. Well, I would really love to know.
Like, I want
to
know why.
I know. I want to know why. It's begging the question. Like, what didn't you like about it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Write more, guys.
Yeah, Dave. It's totally fine. That you didn't like it. Totally.
Yeah.
Cool.
Totally, yeah. Fine.
I
we just want to know
dissenting
why.
Opinions. I love dissenting opinions. Yeah. But tell when we post this, Tell us more, because I want to know why.
Yes, Dave.
Thank you for sharing, Dave. And we got a comment from Brandon Shea Matala. Finally watched Q&A. I really loved it. It was a lot of fun. My only complaint are that those turbo lift shafts are still dumb. I am so looking forward to new short treks. This is what I'm looking forward to most, because the format is so versatile. I would love a full season of just short treks.
Interesting.
I'm so glad that Brandon commented. I was so excited to see that he did.
Yes, Brandon, I'm totally with you. I don't get those turbo lifts, roller coaster things. And then even when they were stuck there and they're like, okay, we're going to send someone down. And I'm like, they're going to get run over by these roller coasters. Yeah. No, it doesn't even make sense, because in my mind, it's completely enclosed, you know, and like in TNG, they're climbing up the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have that. I'm too TNG, and this does not fit into my headcanon at all. Not at all.
Well, I have like two views. I love the fact that we see the turbo lift shaft and the intricacies of the working and them going back and forth. I love the fact that we see that. I think it's really cool for setting, you know?
Okay.
Like before we go into the bridge, we see the outside of the ship. Before we go into the turbo lift, we see them cruising around in the shaft. But there's way too much negative space. It's too massive.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be so spacious all around it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm like, do it, but make it more realistic.
Yeah, because exactly, they're not going to have this massive amount of space for just turbo shafts. Like, that's a waste of space. You're exactly right. And yeah, I don't care to see it. I'm fine. Just the doors opening and there it is.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Well, we have Paloma Bennett writing in and says, Spock smiling along with number one's advice about hiding the freaky to reach command is heartbreaking and sweet. Well, Paloma, I wonder, why is it heartbreaking? Like, I guess if you're in command that you sort of have to, you know, hold that back, maybe?
I felt the same thing, Paloma. I found when she said about showing your freaky, it immediately made me think of what Michael Burnham told him when he was a kid to get him to stop following her about the half-breed thing. And I feel like that comment may have been triggering for Spock in some way.
Wow. Wow.
And I think it may have taken him back to that moment a little bit, and which was, as we know, the cause of a lot of his pain that he carried through into adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like I understand why number one says that, because as a teacher, you're not guards down. Your guard is not down immediately with new students. And as a music director or a pianist, you know, in a show, I'm not immediately totally casual. We talked about this on our masks episode. We wear different masks depending on the role that we're playing.
Exactly.
And I can't remember which episode of Earl Grey that is, but it's a great episode, listeners. And so I think that there's this duality of wanting to be who you are and honoring who you are 100%, bringing everything you are to the table, and then also having to command respect from people that don't know you.
Yep.
So it's this balance. It's this line that everybody has to walk.
And that is the hard part, like you're saying, like, because you have to command respect for people who don't know you. And so if you do say something sarcastic or something, you know, that if someone knew you would know you're joking or that understood the context of your comment, but people don't always know you, especially when you're in that position of command. Because you're not going to know every single person, depending on the size of the group, you know.
But you, as a teacher, I mean, you display your freaky. You've got your Star Trek stuff.
I do.
All over your classroom.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool, because I think as a student, maybe they think, oh, Miss Nelson there's something different about her, you know, and then it makes them kind of curious.
Yeah, I definitely my classroom has my personality. And sometimes I walk into other classrooms and I'm just like, you could swap out the teacher and you would never know. And to me, that's sad.
Oh, yeah. I like that. For this show in particular that I'm rehearsing right now, for the first several days of rehearsal, I dress, you know, with a button down untucked in jeans or something, looking nice, but not too formal, not too casual. And then I waited several days before I wore my first Star Trek t-shirt.
Ah, yeah.
Like, you know, because I don't know most of the people in the, I didn't know most of the people in this cast. And I'm like, okay, well, let me keep it like a little bit, you know, separate. And then I started relaxing more.
Yeah.
You know, and then I wore my Ethan Peck Spock shirt today, which I have on right now.
Nice.
Chris Chaplin says, upon rewatch, I enjoyed it much more. The character work was sweet. Three standouts. Number one, Spock's prime directive question. Two, the smile shared between Una and Spock. Three, the moment of awe shared on the bridge. The turbo shaft line, however, reminded me how silly the roller coaster track is. So looping back to that again.
Yeah. You know, that moment of awe shared on the bridge, that to me like solidified their connection because they talked about it, you know, and Spock was like, well, I'm jealous that you've seen this. And then they get to have this beautiful experience on the bridge. And I was like, oh, okay, now they're like friends forever and, you know, they have that. And it was just a glance, a look between them.
Oh, yeah. That was so cool. And it was just a beautiful moment. I think that was for everybody. This was for every, that moment was for everybody that wants the Pike series.
Yeah.
And it was just really special, I think. I had forgotten about the prime directive question.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Jeremy Reed also talked about Spock's smile. He said, season two Spock, still smiling. It's part of his character always. I wanted to bring out those comments that were talking about Spock smiling, because I think in the past people would have had a lot of issues with that. But he was doing it from the very beginning. He was smiling. I mean, and I think that maybe Jeremy posted a bunch of pictures throughout the various films and in TOS of Spock smiling.
Yes.
The emotions are there, people. You know,
exactly.
They're there. First of all, he's half human, so he's got that. And also Vulcans have emotions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And yeah, he smiles throughout the series and into the movies. Yeah. And it was, yeah, was he the Jeremy, you were posting pictures and I think there you go. There it is. There it is. I'm like, I saw it on social media somewhere. I couldn't remember, but yeah. I'm like, yep. Again, it's like he's not this celibate monk. He's not this stone cold face. Like, he does have emotions. And just because he's not expressing it the way that you and I would, he's still expressing it in his way.
Yeah. And he's the most human. I couldn't help myself. But I think that the fact that we don't see it that often makes it so much more special when we do.
Yeah.
And Ethan has this really cool way of making it just feel a little awkward when he does it. You know, it's almost like I'm smiling, but it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it's so brilliant to me.
It is. Joshua DeVries writes, what an adorable short. Ethan Peck does a brilliant job of portraying a younger, more insecure Spock. And Rebecca Romijn is, as always, incredible. She's adding so many layers to the character. The Gilbert and Sullivan moment was really cute. A nice reminder that Trek works best when it embraces moments of whimsy and fun amid larger, more dramatic storylines. I look forward to seeing more day-in-the-life moments aboard the Enterprise and the Discovery later on. And Karen Chupas responds, also, this adds such a nice layer to her protectiveness of Spock on Discovery. That is great. Okay, I have a couple.
That's a cool observation.
Yes, Karen, I didn't even think about that. But yes, you are absolutely right. And Josh, I love that we're seeing this whimsy and fun,
yes,
which makes me excited for Lower Decks.
Oh my gosh. I am so excited. I know there's not a lot of people aren't freaking out about it, but I am.
No, this, but Star Trek has funny moments, and it's these fun that I really believe that we're getting just that little snippet. We're going to see a lot more in Lower Decks. So I'm excited.
And that reminded me of the moment when Data pushes on the ship.
Yes, pushes Beverly. Yeah. Data, that was not funny. Yeah.
I love stuff like that. You got to have you got to release the tension, you know?
Yes.
You got to.
Funny thing, my dad, I just spoke to him a couple days ago and he was watching Nemesis and he was like, yeah, that's the one. And oh, no, that was Generations. I'm so sorry. He was telling me about that whole scene and I was like, yep, it's a good scene.
Yeah, it's great. I love Generations. I don't care what anybody says. Heather Murray says, reflecting on this short trek, my big takeaway is just how good the acting is. I'm currently reading Spock's World by Diane Duane, and I can play the book in my head. Fluidly switching out the current and original actors for the characters of Spock and Sarek. This happens subconsciously and does nothing to detract or distract from the story. After having watched Discovery Seasons 1 and 2, I just feel like I have a greater mind index from which to pull character expression. Okay, I'm going to pause. I love that, Heather. That's so cool. She continues, after watching Q&A, I sort of replayed the turbolift scene in my head with Nimoy and Barrett instead of Peck and Romaine, and it totally worked. I had no issues with a pre-Cage Spock singing and smiling in delight. I thought the episode was really simple and beautiful. None of this would be possible without outstanding actors.
What?
That is such a great comment, Heather. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, so good. Oh my gosh. And I love the flexibility that you have. And I think I'm going to try and be more flexible. When you said an insert Nimoy and Barrett, I was like, oh my, how brilliant. Yeah. And yes, I totally could see Nimoy and Barrett stuck in the turbo shift, turbo, you know, that thing. Mm-hmm. Totally. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. My brain is now more flexible. Heather, thank you for your comment.
Yeah, and I just got goosebumps because you think, I mean, yes, the actors are amazing.
Yes.
But you really go back to how much they honor the original people who played these characters. They really do. And I think that all of them are aware that that is the core of what they're doing now. And then they can expand and build upon that. And I don't think any of those actors take that for granted.
No. And you hear them talk, whether, you know, at a convention or a panel or, you know, even on their Twitter, they are always respectful and honoring those who, the characters who, you know, that they are playing currently. It's really amazing. And Heather, I love the fact that you are reading the books and getting that context, which I think the books really do add. So. Great
comment. The books I've read, I picture the actors that we know playing these characters when I've read the books too, but doing the interchange with them is fascinating. Yeah,
it is. Well, Jason Myers writes, this was a nice surprise. I'm still trying to process it now that I have officially seen Spock's first day on the Enterprise. With almost 27 years of fandom under my belt, anything official about Spock, Pike, and Number One has been a distant memory, and any new information came to me in non-canonical novel or fanfic form. I got a little choked up when I realized this is the real story, and the connection and bond between Spock and Una is as real to Trek lore as The Cage, Star Trek II, or Star Trek 09. This is a great time to be a Star Trek fan. The human adventure does indeed continue. Oh my gosh, I was getting emotional reading that, Jason. Right? That was so beautiful.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just so, all these thoughtful comments. It's so great.
Yes.
So Amy, how do you think the fans responded to this week's episode?
Well, overwhelmingly
positive. Wait a minute. Are you a little bit teary right now?
I am. Jason, that was very well put. I got choked up reading that.
Yeah. I love when we make Amy break.
Oh, gosh.
So what do you think everybody thought?
Well, I just, you know, they overwhelmingly positive, your few nitpicks, which of course we love. And love that's it. What we,
bring it
because it makes us think and it's like, yeah, well, what's going on here? And, you know, so I think we heard a lot of, we want Pike. I think Rebecca Romijn and Ethan Peck did amazing and an amazing character development between these two, which does feed into what we now know about Discovery and hopefully what we'll see in future Trek. So what did you think, Chris?
Oh, I really liked it. I watched it three times. I didn't get a chance to watch it today because I had rehearsal all day, but when you rewatch, you notice things that you didn't notice the first time, and that keeps happening. Oh, you know, one thing that I thought was really cool was when we saw Spock's ear at the beginning when he transports over, you could see like the blood vessels in the ear or something. Like the attention to detail, it looked like a real Vulcan ear or half Vulcan ear. It just looked so cool. I love little details like that. I thought it was brilliant and a great way to start this new mini season, I guess, of Short Treks, because we're going to get several more very soon.
Yes, we are.
And actually, we're recording today on a Wednesday, so we're getting the second one tomorrow. But and they're all, a lot of them are going to be different. We're going to get some animated ones.
Yes.
So I think this was a great kickoff and what a nice surprise for us to get it. Be sure to check out our Discovery and Short Treks coverage. Live from the Edge for each new Short Treks will air on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, so you can watch Brandy and Bruce and ask questions live, and will be released as a podcast the next day. Our commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge with Mike and Max. And of course, you can catch full analysis on the Edge main show with Amy and Patrick. You'll find all of these in the main feed for the Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, and the best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where I will collect your feedback for postcards. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select The Edge. Amy, it was so fun talking Star Trek Short Treks with you today, and I cannot thank you enough for being here and for all that you do for the Trek FM community and for me personally.
Well, thank you, Chris, so much for having me on. I feel very honored to be your first guest. And
the honor is mine.
You are truly the torchbearer.
Oh, I was wondering if one of us was going to... I thought about saying that.
You are my torchbearer, and it's just so, and I'm glad that I got to read the names, because postcards really, and I said it last time, that, you know, you really get a bond with reading people's words, and it's truly a wonderful experience, and I'm excited to see how you take the show and what you do with it, so.
And this is your baby. I mean, first of all, the listeners and the fans love you, and I hope that they're willing to give me a chance, because it is an honor for me too, and I'm very happy and excited to do it. But you know, I know I have some big shoes to fill, as I said, and I hope that I do you proud.
Well, you are off to a great start. Just keep having great guests like me. No.
So, Amy, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me right here on the network, where I co-host Earl Grey. That's our Next Gen podcast with good friends Justin Ozer and Joe Keegan. And, of course, doing the Edge main show with the wonderful Patrick Devlin. And we will be talking a lot about Short Treks coming up soon. So again, I try to reserve my comments because I got to save it for the main show.
Right.
Yeah. And
now you don't have to. You can just do it all there.
And you can find me on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson. Right now it's sort of college football season, so I'm getting some college football tweets in there. And I tweet a little bit about what my math students are doing. And then, of course, all the Star Trek stuff.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CD Littlefield, and of course, lurking in the Babel Conference. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. I would like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoab Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Tribuzio, Brian Malosh. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and especially The Edge. Join us very soon for another episode of Postcards from the Edge right after the next Short Treks, The Trouble with Edward, is released. Amy, do you want to do this together?
Yes.
Thank you very much, and
hailing frequencies open.
Wait, that's wrong.
Yeah, you need to say trek.fm.
I know.